T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, welcome back. I'll admit I was wrong. A story here from Yahoo News. Saturday Night Live star Michael Che has sparked significant online backlash after sharing an offensive joke about Simone Biles. Che on Instagram wrote, "Man, I want to make fun of Simone Biles," the gymnast, of course, who recently withdrew from competitions at the Olympics to focus on mental health. He went on to write, "I got like 3 minutes of Simone Biles jokes in my head." From there, here's where it gets bad. Che posted a joke about Biles that was shared with him, which said that Larry Nassar, I don't think I need
the
to...
The rapist.
Who was the team doctor for the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team. Che posted a joke about Biles that he says was shared with him, which said that Larry Nassar understands Simone Biles better than anyone because he too had to quit doing what he loved at the pinnacle of his career. Oh my God. Everybody knows who Nassar is. Che reacted to the joke by calling it absolutely tasteless, but then went on to rate it a 9 out of 10. He also shared another joke that said, "Who said black don't crack?" when he also praised that joke and rated it an 8 out of 10.
Che's he then tried to joke that maybe he had gotten hacked. "I can't believe they got me. See y'all at church. I'm going to get there early."
His entire Instagram account, by the way,
has been disabled.
Right, and cleaned out.
I don't think you can ever joke about rape, child rape. I don't think Jerry Sandusky is funny or on the table when it comes to comedians. I just think there are certain things.
Who get away with saying a lot of things that you and I would get fired for. And we laugh. We do laugh sometimes. I don't need to remind everyone some of the things that Andrew Dice Clay used to say in the early 90s.
He would never, ever be able to go up on stage and repeat half of the stuff that he said. I don't know. I think, you know, he is a co-head writer for SNL. It'll be interesting to see, are they in reruns or is that live Saturday night? It'll be interesting to see if they talk about this. But he's in a world of trouble. That's idiot number one today on our stack. Idiot number two is your Missouri treasurer, Scott Fitzpatrick, who vowed to fight back against, quote, liberal politicians who have used the pandemic as a cover to justify spending trillions of dollars of borrowed money to fund their agenda, .. What Fitzpatrick failed to note was that the company he founded has been the recipient of $1.2 million in federal pandemic relief funding. He got one loan for $694,000. That loan has been forgiven.
Which is to say it's free money.
The status of the second loan was received 3 months ago. $646,000 has not been publicly disclosed. Why are they all so dumb? Where they know they have done this. They know that they have taken out. He knew, his wife knew, his staff knew, his accountant knew that we have taken out $1.2 million to help with my family-owned business. And half of that, $600,000+, is forgiven.
Which is to say it was free money.
But then he's going to go hold a news conference and blame the other side for throwing money around. I mean, isn't there a point where they think this is probably not a good idea? I should probably keep my mouth shut because I am a recipient of the very thing I'm claiming to fight against.
Making a brief exception to our no politics rule, I will simply say both sides do this, and it's called pandering. They pander. That the statement about the government and loans and PPE and all that stuff, that or PP whatever the hell it is, that is classic pandering to the base. They both do it.
They not know in that time that the next time he's up for election, I can already tell you the ad. Scott Fitzpatrick against spending federal money to help bail out small businesses took out a $1.2 million loan, which was forgiven, while he told you that was a bad idea. I mean, the ad writes itself.
Yeah, it does. But here's what else they're banking on. And I think they're right. Americans, when it comes to voting, have extremely short memories. Extremely short. That's why you save the October surprise for October. Because they may remember that one. And I'm not saying American voters are dumb. I'm saying they have short attention spans. It's shiny object. Let's move on
and
to the next.
And he thought, I'm going
to
take that $1.2 million and run.
Absolutely.
And we'll just figure it out later.
Yeah, I'm going to take $1.2 million in exchange for about a day or two of bad press. Okay. If you're going to talk bad about me and make fun of me for 1 day in exchange for $1.2 million,
okay,
go ahead. Get started.
Yeah, because the news cycle's over and we'll forget about it by Monday.
That's exactly right.
All right, my favorite story of the day, and I don't know whether to call this guy an idiot or a hero. Jetpack guy is back. Once again, federal aviation officials say, along with the FBI, they are investigating a report of a person
a
jetpack flying over Los Angeles. They can't catch him.
How can you not catch him?
A pilot flying a Boeing 747 Wednesday night looked toward the right wing of the plane and reported a strange figure zooming over L.A. Possible jetpack man in sight, the pilot said, sounding weary, as if not right annoyed. It was unclear if the object spotted was the same jetpack man that American Airlines pilots saw last year flying at 3,000 feet around the airport, or the reported jetpack user seen 6 weeks later by crew members on another commercial flight. It has again prompted warning from aviation officials and another federal inquiry. They are looking into reports, and yes, they cannot catch him. Use caution, air traffic control says. The jetpack guy is back. He was spotted at 5,000 feet, 15 miles east of the airport.
A mile above the ground.
I don't know whether I want him to get hit by an airplane.
Well, no, I don't want him to because it,
I don't want to. I don't want to take
engine,
the plane down.
Yeah.
Or is he a hero? Is he an idiot? What is he? Who is Jetpack Man?
Explain how he might be a hero, because he's
figured out how to do this and no one can catch him.
Some people might say he's kind of thumbing his nose at the government. Might seem as a hero.
I wouldn't have a problem with this if he wasn't flirting around airspace. There's a reason he is doing this around the airport. If you have the kind of money that it takes to buy one of those jetpacks, which we looked this up at some point, it was like, what's it, like $500,000 or something crazy?
I don't think it's that much.
Have the kind of money to have the real jetpack that you're flying around like George Jetson, you're at least probably well-read enough to know that you cannot violate federal airspace around an airport.
The Martin jetpack, which apparently is the creme de la creme.
Of course it is.
Will cost you anywhere between $150,000 and $250,000, excluding the cost of the premium gas. Okay.
Well, you don't want to put regular unleaded in your jetpack.
Well, you don't, and certainly you don't want to go with the 87. If you did put regular unleaded, you want to go with the 93. Everybody knows.
What is the charge other than violating airspace?
Well, obviously that one would be there has to be a criminal neglect clause involved here.
I don't There is no jetpack law, Scott.
Because we haven't needed one. What do you... I just want to know,
is it Tony Stark?
If he wasn't flying near an airport, would you have a problem with a guy going a mile up in the air?
No. No. Just don't land on me and kill me while I'm walking down the street.
Because people freak out about drones being over their house. Those are unmanned. What happens when a man goes up or a woman?
Here's the deal. When a drone is over my house, that could be a privacy violation. Jetpack man is just putting lives in danger because he's flying around in protected airspace.
Wouldn't jetpack man being flying over your house be a privacy violation as well? At least with a drone, it's unmanned. They're just looking at you through a TV camera. This douche nozzle is actually looking at you with his own eyeballs flying over your house.
Out of an abundance of caution, air traffic control had to alert other pilots in the vicinity. Audio recordings from the airport suggest there was a person flying in a jetpack. SkyWest 3626, use caution. The jet man is back. Air traffic controller can be heard saying, let me know if you see them. Did you see the UFO? We're looking, the pilot responds. We have not yet seen Iron Man. Jetpacks are experimental, expensive, noisy, and hard to find on the commercial market. However, someone has figured out how to buy one. He or she has been spotted four times to date in and around LAX.
576-7798.
Meet George Jetson.
576-7798. Grant Miller, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Jane, his wife.
Coming up on Dana and Parks, a proposal. It'll probably go nowhere, but a proposal nonetheless, which means we get to talk about it, to try to get a four-day work week in the United States. It's come up before. And a state not far from ours is cracking down on those dreaded slow left-lane drivers. Please tell me Missouri and Kansas are next. A story here from the New York Times. Jeffrey Smith, a 12-year veteran patrolman. By the way, this story is centered around January 6th, but we're not going to talk about the events on January 6th. There's a larger point in this story, but they just used Jeffrey Smith, who was a police officer at the Capitol at the time of January 6th, but it's what happened afterwards that is the real story. Jeffrey Smith, a 12-year veteran patrolman, was one of hundreds of Metropolitan Police Department officers deployed on January 6th to defend the Capitol from a violent mob. He was hit in the head with a metal pole during the melee, and afterward, his wife said, Jeffrey Smith seemed to slip into a deep depression. He was ordered back to work 8 days later, but he never made it. In his car on the George Washington Parkway on the way to his shift, he shot himself, becoming the second officer to take his own life in the wake of the riot. Today, his widow, Erin Smith, is petitioning the Police and Firefighters Retirement and Relief Board to designate her husband's suicide as a death in the line of duty, a designation that comes with vastly greater financial benefits and, she says, more dignity. But the odds are decidedly against her. Let me just read this one more.
Yeah, this is next sentence is important.
Unlike in the military, which commonly awards benefits to families of soldiers who take their own lives, police suicides are not considered line of duty death. In fact, the law generally forbids that designation. The families of officers who kill themselves say the rules represent an outdated approach that recognizes the physical dangers of policing, but not the mental ones. Dana Wright.
So congressional representatives for both officers are petitioning to have those deaths ruled job related. And some states have a presumption, and we would have to ask all of you if Missouri and Kansas is among them. Some states have a presumption that certain physical ailments are job related. Listen to this. This was the sentence that jumped out at me, Scott, in this entire article, and it's lengthy.
All right.
in Florida, heart attacks are assumed to be line of duty because of the stress of the job. And it does not matter, this is their words, how many cheeseburgers an officer has eaten. If you're going to assume that the job affects the heart, why would we not assume that an officer's job affects the brain? I want to read that Florida sentence again. Heart attacks in Florida, if you are a police officer, are assumed to be line of duty deaths because of the stress of the job.
Because they're job related.
But that's the only, yeah, that's the only line I need to justify paying survivors' benefits for the officers who die by suicide in the line of duty, Scott. You're really going to say that every officer in Florida who had died of a heart attack, that was stress and job related?
No.
What about the officer that has 9 family members with a long history of heart disease and hypertension?
But
who is, you know, really overweight and doesn't take care of himself or herself?
But I do think comparing a heart attack to a suicide might be a little bit of apples and oranges. However, the reason for the heart attack, I would argue, is you can't prove it wasn't work-related. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, we're not going to pay Officer Bill his in-the-line-of-duty benefits to his family because he ate way too many cheeseburgers. And my God, have you seen how many donuts that guy would scarf down in a morning?
He smoked 6 packs a day.
Yeah. But then again, his family would say, have you, and no pun intended, have you no heart? He worked 12-hour shifts. He had to see the worst of the worst. Of course it was job-related. The stress came from the job. I understand. But some people would say you don't pound your chest and give yourself a heart attack. You do pull the trigger and take your own life.
But others would say we should not be treating mental health as anything other than the way we treat physical ailments. Officer Smith, by the way, had no intention of causing his own death, according to the lawsuit. He had no history of depression or mental health issues prior to January 6th. None. They said there was a dramatic change in his demeanor after he returned.
Okay. Somebody on the text line says there is no honor in suicide.
Oh, I'm not going to go down that road with somebody.
Well, but I mean, that's why they're saying, if you die in the line of duty because you were fighting a bad guy, for example.
Sure.
The argument is clear, and I think there are a few that would refute it. There was honor in that.
I would also say that if you die on a battlefield wearing the uniform of the United States of America, you might say there's honor in that. We are still paying their full benefits if they come back and cannot function and they lose their life at their own hand. Why do we pay military and not police?
Let me do this very quickly because we got to get to the news. You know I'm a where-do-you-draw-the-line kind of guy.
Yep.
Where do you draw the line? There's no doubt soldiers see horrible things, have to do horrible things.
As do police.
That you just took the words out of my mouth. Doctors see horrible things. I'm not saying they have to do horrible things, but they see horrible things. The stress of that job is incredible. People have made the argument that air traffic controllers have the most stressful civilian job in America. Where do you draw that line?
A new study shows police are at the highest risk for suicide of any profession. Any profession.
Higher than military.
Any profession.
576-7798. 576-7798. Your calls, your comments coming up after a quick break for the news. 576-77.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hi, welcome back. We're talking about this story in the New York Times. It's about a former D.C. police officer, Jeffrey Smith, who was at the Capitol on January 6th. He was hit in the head with a metal pole during the riot, insurrection. His wife says he came home after January 6th and slipped into a deep depression. He was ordered back to work 8 days after, but he never made it. On his way to his shift, Jeffrey Smith, on the George Washington Parkway, while in his car, shot himself. He became the second officer to take his own life in the wake of the riot. His wife, Erin Smith, his widow, Erin Smith, is petitioning for full retirement and relief. She wants her husband's suicide listed as a death in the line of duty. It is a steep hill that she will be climbing to get that.
Did we consider line of duty death post 9/11 for mental health reasons, suicide, and then much later,
I don't recall,
the horrible effects on the lungs and the lung cancer rates for everyone that down there that worked that pile?
Well, there certainly was some additional compensation for those who did get sick and died from their work on 9/11, yes. In fact, you may recall Jon Stewart, the comedian.
Yes, advocated for money for all of the survivors.
Right. And I would dare say went above and beyond. He really took that up as his cause.
The worst states, by the way, and this is the rate, not because they're more populated or they have more officers on the force. The worst rates are found in New York, followed by California, Texas, and Florida.
Let's go to Mike in Topeka. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hi, go ahead.
So I'm hoping maybe I can offer some insight on this. As you know, I've mentioned before in the past that my dad took his own life. You know, when you talk about situations like in Florida where they can say that a heart attack can be stress-related and that can be directly tied to work, well, stress in and of itself is a mental thing. You know, stress isn't physical.
And directly tied to that job. Directly tied to that job.
Right. And a heart attack is also something that doesn't typically just happen right away. It takes time for, you know, the plaque to build up in your heart and for your heart to get weak, and then something snaps and you have a heart attack. Well, taking your own life is very much the same. It's something that builds up over time, not in all cases, but most. So I could definitely see, you know, if taking your own life was directly stress-related because of your job, then I think she's got a leg to stand on in that aspect. But also, you know, if he was perfectly fine, he had no signs of depression or illness or anything before he got hit in the head, how many cases have we heard of football players who get concussions that mentally changed them? You know, and so I think, you know, you have this direct link to an event that happened and several days later he died. Well, if he had a brain aneurysm, you know, or a blood clot or something that could be directly tied to it, would they not then say, oh, that wasn't, you know, line of duty because he was off the clock at the time? Or would they still honor it and be like, okay, yeah, you know, because of his, brain injury, he unfortunately passed several days later. To me, that's much the same.
Well, and I kind of take the opposite view, Mike, that Scott does. I think it's easier to draw a straight line between that type of death in a police department and heart attack.
Exactly.
I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, I think that she's definitely got a case, and I hope she fights it with every bit of tenacity that she has.
Mike, do appreciate the call. It's always good to hear from you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, you take care. 576-7798. I hope I get this right. Is it Lenore?
Lenore, right.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and my heart goes out to that gentleman and anybody who's, you know, affected by suicide, but I think it's perfect timing, the conversation, particularly with the issue with Simone Biles and now this poor gentleman and his family. But it, again, it infuriates me. Society is unwilling to accept mental illness as a bona fide illness, right? If it's physical, everybody goes, oh, yeah, he died of cancer. He died of this. He died of this. She was in an accident. But when we start to talk about mental illness, I don't think it's a line of duty or a not line of duty. I think the gentleman, unfortunately, was sick to the point that he caused his own death.
He could not go back.
If you are that ill, what are we even discussing this about, right? Sane people don't kill themselves. And it's just really disappointing. Thank you for taking my call. Be safe, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, Lorna. Thank you so much.
Somebody is arguing on the text line that the military does not, in fact, pay survivors' benefits, if you will, for soldiers who come back from... I don't know if that... The story in the New York Times here, let me just double check
this. It says, unlike in the military, which commonly awards benefits to families of soldiers who take their own lives, police suicides are not considered line of duty deaths.
Now, this person on the text line says the military does not do that.
I think that that is wrong.
All right. Telephone number here is 576-7798. 576-7798. Quoting here from his widow, Aaron Smith. When my husband left for work that day, that was the Jeff that I knew. When he returned, after experiencing the event, being hit in the head, he was a completely different person. I do believe if he did not go to work that day, he would be here and we would not be having this discussion. By the way, Officer Jeff Smith was 35 years old. He kept working, later told friends and family that he was rattled. He was assigned to guard a hotel after the insurrection, protested when he was told to remove his helmet, saying that he'd already been hit once. This one's tough. I mean, I know that there has been, and I think it's for the better, a recognizable sea change or I'm not going to say a sea change. There has been an orchestrated attempt to open the door for at least discussion and hopefully some understanding.
Yes.
When it comes to mental health in America. Slowly but surely, I think the stigma is starting to lift. But we are not even close. Not even remotely close to removing the stigma about mental health. In fact, if anything, we just started. Follow-up, somebody is contesting the previous texter who says the military has changed its stance on suicide and mental illness and does now pay out benefits to survivors. 576-7798. Let's go to the Northland. Bring in Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. So
hi.
I don't know, but with that whole military thing, the statement that you guys read says commonly pays out. That doesn't mean they always do.
Correct.
Maybe they take into account situational. Like if you're a computer repair specialist in the Army and you
yes.
get deployed to Iraq in a green zone for a year compared to an infantryman in a red zone kicking down doors and getting in gunfights almost every day. It might be like a situational thing, but I don't know. I just wanted to weigh that in. I had that thought.
No, thank you for it. This is from NPR. In general terms, if a veteran has been rated as 100% disabled or has a VA diagnosis linked to suicide, then the VA can pay several thousand dollars for a funeral, and there are grants for surviving spouses. There are monthly support payments, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic.
Telephone number here, 576-7798. Coming up, Arkansas is cracking down on those slow left-lane drivers. And next hour, a local high school's Hall of Fame with its 116 people inducted, is drawing some controversy because of who is not in that Hall of Fame. It's a local high school.
Not good.
They got a Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame at that high school is now controversial. We'll get to that in the 4 o'clock hour and, of course, in the 5 o'clock hour of the program today. It is Festivus Friday. That is brought to you every week by Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer. So yesterday on the program, we reported as it was happening in real time that Danny Duffy was about to be traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I was reading off of a time-stamped Yahoo Sports report, 4:53, Royals talking about paying part or all of Danny Duffy's salary in part of trading him to the Dodgers. And I'm like, wow, we got to pay the Dodgers to take Danny Duffy? The Kansas City Star has a story today, why the Kansas City Royals had to send cash to the Dodgers in the Danny Duffy deal. Danny Duffy's forearm injury certainly played a role in the Kansas City Royals having to send an undisclosed amount of money to the large market, deep-pocketed L.A. Dodgers. Royals general manager Dayton Moore acknowledged the injury significantly altered the trade market for Duffy, a veteran left-hander who will become a free agent at the end of the year. Duffy slated to make $15.5 million this season, blah, blah, blah. The group of players, okay. Quoting here from Dayton Moore, we're comfortable with the pool of players we have to choose from. You're always trying to get as much value as you can based on all the information we have on the Dodgers. And he says because of the injury and they needed to relieve, because they're not going to re-sign him, it's highly unlikely he'll stay, you've got to pay the Dodgers to take him but still give you the other players in return.
Right.
That's how that all worked out. Okay, fine. Got it. 10-4, Roger. And we mentioned this in passing yesterday. Channel 5 is reporting just yesterday. We announced that Cerner is planning to sell their KCK campus, the one over there by the Legends.
The new one.
Mm-hmm. Relatively new. And part of the reason is their hybrid workforce. The pandemic has changed the way many of us work. Blah, blah, blah. Ever since the pandemic hit, Heather Furman's office has been very homey. No pun intended, Furman is a solution analyst for Cerner, currently works from home. Cerner announcing that they are going to sell off their KCK campus out by the Legends and reevaluate their, quote, real estate needs.
The family of a boy thrown from a third-floor balcony in 2019 has sued the Mall of America for negligence. The Twin Cities family, whose five-year-old son was thrown from a third-floor balcony by a crazy person in 2019, is suing the mall for negligence. The child, named Landon and is now six, survived but suffered severe injuries, as you can imagine, when this idiot picked him up and tossed him over a side balcony. He has pleaded guilty to attempted first-degree murder, was sentenced to 19 years in prison, and told investigators he went to the mall intent on harming someone. The family's lawsuit states that this guy was well known to the mall and the Mall of America's security department as a violent and aggressive man with an explosive temperament who had been banned from the mall twice before assaulting mall patrons, making terroristic threats, being combative, and criminally damaging property. The assailant never should have been allowed in the mall that day, and if allowed to enter, he should have been followed by security.
Okay, we're talking about Paul Blart here, basically, monitoring this guy.
Yes.
This isn't the mall security. No, I'm not making fun of people who are in mall security,
no. Okay?
But they're not the FBI. This is not the U.S. Marshals Service. This is Paul Blart that we're talking about.
Landon's medical bills have exceeded $1.75 million.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know how a mall, an open-air, enormous mall, I don't know how many bajillions of square feet the Mall of America has, but it's a lot.
It's apparently very big.
It is a lot. And I don't know how, if you own that mall or run that mall, you prevent any crazy person from coming in.
I would assume like Oak Park Mall, and I've never been to the Mall of America.
Times 20.
Okay. So I'm assuming just like Oak Park Mall, there are many, many ways in.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
And they want to make sure that one crazy person that has been banned from the mall never goes near it again.
Correct.
Okay, you would have to, for every person...
You would have to have someone stationed or facial recognition software.
And you would have to have every door either physically monitored or put one person per TV screen. So let's say that there are 25 entrances to the Mall of America.
I know.
And that may be conservative. That there are 25 entrances into the Mall of America. You want to have a air traffic control tower-esque atmosphere where you have 25 to 30 security guards all sitting there, each one staring at an individual TV screen, looking for one face in a city of roughly 3.5 million people.
Yes.
Okay. I quit. All right. By the way, the U.S. women's soccer team won this morning. I watched that match. Went into extra time.
Wait, what time?
It was on at 5:30 this morning.
I was going to say, you got up early.
Well, I just watched the second half.
All right.
But anyway, U.S. women's soccer team has advanced to the semifinals. They beat the Netherlands in penalty kicks. It was a 2-2 tie after the extra time. So your semifinals in women's soccer is going to be Australia, Sweden, Canada beat Brazil, Canada, and the United States.
Okay.
I know that for whatever reason, is it me or is like every American turning on the Olympic teams this year? There, people are mad about Simone Biles. People are furious with the U.S. women's soccer team, mainly because of Megan Rapinoe.
I love her.
Absolutely furious. Gonna be furious when they get their goal. Oh, did I hear that Patrick Mahomes bought part of Sporting KC?
You missed that. Yes.
Wow. All right, quick break for the news.
Miss a little, miss a lot.
When we get back, a local high school has its own Hall of Fame. But it's who's not in this Hall of Fame that is generating controversy. Get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
I know you broke up with him. And your heart's still on the shelf. It's been over 2 years.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.